Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Reyes.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, thanks everyone again for tuning into This Is Real, a show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. With yours truly, Pastor Juan, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie. Thank you guys for joining us. Welcome back.
Man, this has been a KMF production. And it's like, you know, it's not Young Take Money, over. But it's yeah. Young KMF. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's Young KMF. And I really love the fact of how, like, they're building generational wealth. And I'm not just saying financially, I'm saying right. generational wealth of prospering in the things of God, right? So it just doesn't stop with, like, Brian, right? So it's like God orchestrated this whole thing. And I feel like that's the part that I'm, like, in awe of what God is doing, right? Yeah. Especially seeing Brandon yesterday, like, in the prisons and all that. And, like, just watching the whole thing from, like, you know, sitting back and going, okay, mm-hmm. this is Nephew Wu, you know, and then he's out there. And it's like, I see Brian kind of, like,
yeah,
full, like a dad who's proud, you know. So in the studio, who we got with us today?
Come on, so give it up for Brandon, guys.
Brandon,
man, come on.
Say what's up to the people, and then come we got on. Kevin. Come what's on. Up?
So hold on, man. There's a because when I think I don't know, this is gonna sound funny, but I was thinking like Chris Cross. I heard you got like a Chris Cross thing, son in the works. You do, huh?
Yup.
Okay. You got to say it here, and this is real. You know, you got to give us the leak.
Yeah, so look, it's behind the scenes. So a lot of people, when we were a little bit younger and stuff, they would be like, man, y'all remind me of Chris Cross. Y'all remind me of this.
You
this.
Do.
Because of the hair, you know, the light skin and whatever. Because me and my brother, right?
Yeah.
And so they was like, man, you should do a remix. So a lot of people don't know that we actually do have a Chris Cross remix, and we do have a video on the way. So y'all just
what?
Stay tuned for that. It's going to be crazy. It's crazy.
That's fire. I heard that yesterday. It was like the leak, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, yeah, so I ain't going to say what else I heard. But I just, you know, I think it's dope because I did think that when I first saw y'all, I was like, oh my God, they remind me a little bit of like Chris Cross, yep. you know, the backward clothes and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. that's kind of dope. Where's your brother? How are you guys doing?
My brother's back at home. He had to handle business with my dad. They had to stay back and handle some stuff. But I wanted to, you know what I'm saying, push out and not only allow myself to, you know what I'm saying, rest this cool and stuff, but God knows my heart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God knows that I ask God to give me a heart for the people, a heart for his people, and like Uncle B says, for me to hate what he hates and love what he loves. And I know that a lot of times we don't get to go to the prisons, and last year was my first time actually going to the prisons.
Because last year you turned
18.
That's ooh,
yeah. So
hold on, you're adulting now.
A little bit, man. Slowly but surely.
Man, you remember when they were on the show? They were like,
no,
the
yeah.
kids.
No, that's yeah. why I was like 19. I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like 15 last time we came, 16
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
And so last year was my first time going to the prisons and then hit home because it was like, man, it's a whole nother ball game. Like, it's a whole nother atmosphere. It's like their praise is a genuine praise, even though the enemy mm-hmm. has them in a place or a predicament where it feels like you shouldn't even give God the glory because look where he got me. But at the same time, yeah. they still see the goodness and what God has brought them from to know that even though they might be in them four walls, that they could be dead. They could be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Way worse. Mm-hmm. And so for me to see that praise come from them, it just gave me another heartbeat, not only for people going through trials and tribulations such
That's
as
fine.
Them, but for me to even uplift my faith and uplift yeah. my praise and be more grateful and thankful for what God has gotten me through.
That's super dope.
Good.
Okay,
good.
Oh, so tell her, because maybe everybody don't know, you know, I'm thinking everybody know, but
yeah.
Brandon, Brian T's nephew. Mm. So tell us a little bit of the backstory, right? So about Wu, your dad, all that, because
yeah, so
maybe we don't know.
My dad was the one who pioneered Kingdom Music, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he started in his house, you know what I'm saying? And he would go up the block, show people the music, give them the message. Say, it's very similar to what we do now. Preach the gospel, give them the music
wow.
to draw them in like a tool, right?
Yeah.
And so definitely like starting then and watching how it transpired and grow, like now, seeing like how my uncle does it and how all of us do it as ministers of music, it's insane to see the growth and to see the impact that it has on people's lives. Like yesterday in the prison,
yeah,
it's crazy that people know the story. But they don't even, you know what I'm saying, have the tools to necessarily get the story, but they know the story, you know what I mean? So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
So,
because I've thought of this, you know, where like, you know, your dad was a twin, you know, Brian's a twin, right? So it's like you still see your dad even though, you know, he's in heaven, right? So you still see your dad and Brian. When for you, when did you get saved? Like what happened to where you were like, hey, I'm going to do this too? Were you out there tripping?
Yeah. I was in the streets of Chattanooga like four years ago, tripping, doing everything to be somebody I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Trying to portray something that I seen or that I heard or I see everybody else doing, trying to be that.
Yeah.
And it got me to a situation to where it's like, man, I need God to help me out. And so I called my uncle and I let him know, hey, I'm trying to do something different. I need help. Can you help me out? And he brought me to the men's home, you know what I mean? So I did that for a year, and ever since then, God has been working on me and growing me.
So how old were you then?
I was 21. I just turned 21.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm just saying, easier said than done, right? Because so obviously your dad was Wu, mm-hmm. and so he's preaching the gospel and doing other stuff,
yeah.
right? But they also had the street life, right, yeah. before. Okay, so then you gravitated to the street life. I don't even know how to really articulate the question. How at 21 you said, you know,
what does it look like in your seat, right? With your father living his lifestyle, not being in your life, and then, I mean, do you know of Brian? Is he in your life? Is he like that crazy, you know, uncle that you're like, man, I ain't talking to him. He's just going to try to preach at me and all that sorts of stuff. Like, what is it before that?
Kind of like from your lens, right? Because we always hear it from
your uncles. It's okay. You can tell the... No, I'm kidding. Don't look at him right now. I'm kidding.
I mean, listen, I just think that I would like to know what from your perspective, because at 21... I was tripping, and it didn't matter who was going to tell me at 21. Yeah, no, like, that's the beauty when I look at y'all,
you're real
right? And I told you that yesterday. It's like, I'm like, man, by the time they're 50, they're carrying their torches, they just stay consistent, they're going to be like doing some incredible things, right? Mm-hmm. So, but what does it look like at 21 when you're in the streets? Because you knew the story of your dad,
yeah.
and then you have Brian T over here, right? And he's like, King of Music, right?
It was definitely different transitioning from the streets into something, to the things of God. It was a challenge at first, but knowing who my dad was when he first came to God and knowing how my uncle was, you know what I mean? It's a process. It's a sanctification process. So I just had to trust in the Lord to do so in me, and he's still doing it in me. But it was definitely hard at first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had friends thinking like, what you doing following God? Like, what's all this? You were just smoking with me 2 weeks ago, and now you're in a men's home, and you can't talk, you know what I'm saying, all this. And it's like, God has something for me, and I'm realizing it, man. And he has something for my whole family. It's just me walking into it and realizing what he had for me. You know what I mean? That's I had fire. To get that realization, that revelation, you know what I mean?
Were you doing music before?
Yes, I was.
You were?
Yeah.
But you were glorifying the streets?
Yeah.
Just like they did?
Yeah, just like they did.
And so now, because I always hear in the beats,
Yeah.
Right? So that's you making the beats.
Yeah,
for
I make the production and stuff.
That's super dope. What are your friends thinking right now? Like, did any of your friends kind of reach out and go like, bro?
Yeah, so a lot of them now, like, they're starting to ask questions. Now, anyway, they respect it more. They understand it. You know what I mean? They don't necessarily get it.
Yeah.
But they understand it and respect it because they see the fruit from it. They see me going into the prisons, preaching about the things of Jesus, standing on business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they begin to be more and more interested and curious about the things of God.
Yeah.
I just let them know, hey, you can do it too. I'm not trying to force it on them. Same thing with my family, but I'm just letting them know and letting the fruit be evident.
Mm-hmm. That's fire. Mm-hmm. Okay, so okay, you guys are both young men. Y'all are currently dating? Y'all dating?
No, that was slow.
Over here was fast.
It's a talking thing.
Okay. Okay, this is coming out first, and this is real. The whole crew's out there going. I think even Brian T was a little caught, but you know. Okay. So, we're gonna get to you here, and we're gonna talk about that. But I just want to hear from your perspective. Okay, your age is
19, 25.
Okay, in this, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of sexual immorality. There's all this stuff, right?
Yep.
There's just so, I feel like we had distractions going on too, right? But like, I don't know, maybe because I'm on the side of Jesus now that I'm like, man, y'all got way more, you know, it's like, I feel like before, you know, we're trying to sneak in a little Playboy magazine or something at a barbershop, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You're trying to sneak it in, right? And like, today it's like everywhere. So it's like, well, we had like bathing suits or something. Now it's like everybody's like half naked.
Yeah.
The billboards, social media. At your ages, how do you guys stay pure? Like, how do you guys, you know, right? Because right now he was like, yeah, he's still good. He's like, yeah, I'm good. But you did the little like, hey, I'm talking now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good question. Us uncle, we always talk about this.
Yeah.
And first and foremost, it has to be purity.
Mm-hmm.
Because without purity, there is no way in life that you can even please God, first and foremost. Yep. But stay with that anointing, or with that anointing that breaks the yoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what comes first before that is wisdom. And it says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And so it's not saying, oh, God, I'm scared of you. I'm not going to do this because I fear you. Mm-hmm. But it's enough of you saying, God, I fear you enough to respect you, right? And so I say this all the time. I always use this example. It's like if I have the fear of my dad, right? He tell me go wash the dishes. I'm gonna wash the dishes not because I'm scared he's gonna do something to me, right? But because I respect him enough to know that he pays the bills, he does this, he does all these things for me, right? For me to honor That's and respect good. Him and to wash those dishes, mm-hmm. it's the most simple thing I could do, right? And so it's the same thing with God behind closed doors. And we always talk about this as well. A lot of people think that worship is whenever you close your eyes and bow your heads. Yeah. When in reality, it's the lifestyle that you live, not even when people are watching you, but when people don't watch you. Because mm-hmm. that's when God sees like, okay, nobody even is around him and he's still putting me first because it's free will, right? And yeah. God's going to separate the wolves from the sheep. So what is he going to do when no one is around? And so it's the same thing. It's to have the fear of the Lord, to have that wisdom to know, you know what, nobody's around me, but because I love you yeah. and I have so much fear for who the Father is, and because I have the spirit of remembrance, not only to know what he took me out of, but to know what he brought me from, and to know that he's gonna continue to get me through these things.
Yeah,
I know to trust his will and to push whatever may pop up on my feet to the side, to hit block, not interested, hit the mm-hmm. little three dots at the top, you know what I'm saying? I know exactly how it seems.
He is coaching every adult I'm telling right you, now.
And don't get me wrong, the temptation is there.
Right, because I mean, you're the, hey, yeah. look, the young disciples, yeah. right?
Yeah, and a
you
lot
got
of,
the, hey, right? Like, I'm pretty sure,
yeah.
you know, I know, April had to, like, not get the messages because they're always DMing. So mm-hmm. I know
yeah.
you young, you know, you got... You're the young disciples.
Yeah.
They have to be hitting you up.
And you have to stand firm, too, because that's good that you said that, too. Because yeah. a lot of people in our day and age, they don't care if you're Christian. Mm. They don't care if you claim this. They don't care if you claim that. They look at followers. They look at this, and this.
The hair.
Everything.
Yeah, they look at the hair.
Yeah, but we give it all to God on that part, right? and it's my real help. they don't look at the deeper part, and that's where God checks us. Because at the same time, as they look in it, we can't really blame them for them not knowing who Christ is at the same time, right? Yeah. But we can control, and we can't control them. But what we can control is our mm-hmm. actions and how we hold ourselves accountable, like I said, when nobody is watching.
So you basically talking about creating boundaries and stuff, right? Yep. You want mm-hmm. to ask a question there? Because that's
know,
what you're thinking.
Everything you said was phenomenal. Amen. Absolutely. 100% agree. And I like what you said about, you know, hey, there's ways, right?
Yeah.
You can put not interested. You can block.
Yep.
But, you know, for me, so I was raised in church. So purity, what people talk about nowadays, you know, purity culture was no sex before marriage, mm-hmm. right? So what would you guys describe when you hear the word purity? Because we are at a different day and age, right? Like you can access anything on your phone.
Yeah.
You can hide things really, really well. And then obviously where our lustful, you know, sin nature will be like, okay, well, we didn't have sex, but we did this, yep. right? Yep. Or you said this, and this.
Because you've been mm-hmm. raised, you're pretty much like out the womb raised in Christ, right?
Yeah, pretty kind of. Yeah.
Pretty much, right? Because you got KG, which is it's not a bad thing. I need you to understand it's not a bad thing.
I'm speaking from my perspective.
Yeah, on my mom's side, and I did hang out with my mom most of the time because my dad was always going, doing the banging, the smoking, and was always out the house shootouts. It was always crazy. And so, yeah, for whenever my dad would do these things, my mom was the one who always brought me to church. Who always, so, you know what I'm saying? But I also say this a lot, too, that it wasn't even really the church. And this is for those who may feel like they're the odd man out or feel like you might be the only person praising God in your family.
I feel like I'm hearing your dad in a sense, right now. Like, I'm like trying to see you. Amen. I hear KG.
Amen. But this is for those who may feel like they are the only person praising God and feel like the odd man out or the black sheep for doing what God wants you to do. But it wasn't even really the church that made me want to follow or continue to follow God, for those who don't know the testimony, because we were praying for my dad, right? Mm-hmm. But it was my mom being a representation of who Christ is, and it made us, me and my brother, me and my sister, want to follow Christ and to push through and persevere the Christ inside of us, so that we continue to give him not only the praise and the glory, but our worries, because we worry so much about why my dad not changed, why my dad doing this, and so it was only through Christ that he got us out of it.
That's
through
fire.
My mom's representation. So
how about you, man? How you keeping your purity?
To piggyback off what he said, so even though we,
because right now you're gonna get a bunch. Right now they're gonna watch the thing, and you're gonna start getting letters, and they're gonna be like, "Oh, he's single."
So if anything,
it's true.
So first, I belong to the Lord before anything.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're all called to be the bride of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Purity is important to be found without spot or blemish, because Christ is coming back for a bride.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so for us to stay pure, what I do is when I'm in my four walls, I think of a cloud of witnesses that watch over me when I do what I do until I can honor the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
That's fire.
And so it says in Proverbs 4:23 to guard your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life, right? So whatever I watch, whatever I fill myself up with, whatever I continue to hang around, I'm going to be that and I'm going to portray that. So for me to stay pure, I hang scripture upon my wall. I listen to the things of God. I keep the Bible playing on repeat, you know what I'm saying? Or I make music, because if not, I'm going to look here, I'm going to look there. Mm-hmm. And even
so
if my
brother, music too.
Yeah, yeah. So even if my brothers come around or the ones that don't follow God and they try to mix and mingle in this, it's like putting dirty water in clean water. That's mm-hmm. going to pollute my water. And I need living water to give someone, right? And in order to do that, I have to keep myself filled up with the things of God. You know what I'm saying? So this is what we do.
Oh, you got Unk on the side, like, yeah. That's fire, man. So, okay. You got any more questions on that?
No.
Okay. I do want to go back.
Yeah, I'm waiting on that. I'm going to go back.
So I hear how you have gotten to this point, but now all of a sudden you're on a talking stage.
Yeah.
So now what you do, right? Because boom, he's still on stage where, hey, I'm good. No. You're on the stage where I just heard you, you know, mm-hmm. we actually, you didn't say it, but we saw it.
Yeah.
He's like, and everybody. So now that's a different thing. So that means pretty much soon people are going to know, right? You're still talking. Mm-hmm. How do you do that now? How do you do what you're doing?
Well,
now?
it's really up to you, mm-hmm. right? Because everyone has their own definition of talking, dating, relationship, right? And the problem is sometimes if you don't define those things. I mean, the worst part is if you didn't define it with the person who you're talking to and they're like, I'm in a relationship. Oh, no, we was just talking, girl. Yeah. So that's the bigger issue. But if it's up to you to answer, say, you know, this is the stage, right, of where I'm at. And this is what that looks like. I had a conversation with a seventh grader.
I was like,
not
seven-year-old.
Like, seventh grader.
I'm like, man,
seventh
young.
Grader, you know, seventh grader this Sunday. And I'm like, hey, you know, parents were like, oh, she's got a boyfriend. Da, da, I find that. I was like, okay, well, you tell me, what is a boyfriend? And at seventh grade, she knows that it's someone who you love, give your life to, and have sexual relations with.
Dang.
So if at seventh grade, you know that boyfriend, right, in their perspective,
that's
is
deep.
Sexual
that's
relations, then obviously, like, we're not here. Everyone got their mouth open, but I know y'all was thinking stuff before, too, right? So they.
Eighth grade, man.
Exactly. So that's how real it is. That's up to you to define, right? What does it look like whenever you're somebody pursuing a pure relationship with Christ, but then also maybe puring a romantic interest with someone else?
So, like you said, it's whatever you think, right? And so the boundary won't be pushed past if you set that boundary, but not only set that boundary, but in one accord with that boundary. Because if
with
you
the person. With
right,
the person.
Right. Because if you aren't in one accord, and that's why I say talking and stuff, because they had a lot of people who were coming out. I would even be a representation to my brother, like, you don't got to move too soon. Even Uncle B is like the most important, one of the two most important events in your whole life is the day of your salvation and the day you get married. Who's that person you're going to wake up next to every morning? Who's that person that you're going to give God all the glory with, right?
Yeah.
And that's the most important thing. And you only get one life, no retries. You know what I'm saying? So you got to take it serious. And so what I do is not only set the boundary, but like they say, be equally yoked. And I know we're not married. I know we're not this. But I know that dating or talking isn't just to talk to you, but it's to figure out, are you on the same mindset that I'm on? Because we not dating just to fiddle with each other, right? But we dating to marry, to give Christ
that's
the
fire.
Glory, you feel me? So so it's being equally yoked in that category.
And both being believers and having
both being believers.
Before we even get to like, hey, we want to date. Yep. You want to know if she rock with Christ.
And you can't be pure alone.
We want to thank all of our partners who support us. Because of you, This Is Real has a tremendous reach from Houston to Galveston and up to the Austin area.
This show reaches over 100 prisons nationwide with over 500,000 inmates tuning in weekly to hear the good news through our radio show and the Pando app.
To partner with us, visit JuanMartinez.tv or download the free Get Rap TV.
You gotta pursue purity together. You have to pursue Christ together. You have to have Bible studies sometimes, or even when you don't feel like it, just to set yourself to the side and say, if I do see a future with you, or if I do want to be with you, I'm going to pursue Christ with you, because God has to be the middle. He has to be the third strand, even if we do think about marriage, right? And so God has to be the forefront in every single category.
I like how you started it.
Yeah.
I like how you started it, how he was like, look, we ain't even dating. If you don't know Jesus, we ain't even talking as friends. Pretty much, he's like, we ain't even get the friend level is just to see like, do you even know Jesus right now with your lips?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much is what you're saying.
Yep, and I had to pursue that example and portray that example not only to myself, to show myself and to endure, right? And to know that Christ and what God is saying, to be patient, that is possible. But to show my brother, you don't got to move too quick. You don't got to do this too quick. You don't got to, you know what I'm saying, jump ahead of what God got for you.
Oh, okay, hold on. We got questions coming from the audience.
I got you.
We got questions coming from the
studio audience.
Hey, live studio. What does that look like in real terms, right? Because I hear you use all the phrases of, you know, and I know what they're doing. They testing what you're saying, right? Because sometimes people go, yo, I make God my priority. And then when you go like, what's that look like? It's like crickets, right?
Yeah.
So right now they testing like, what does that look like in real terms? Like, what does that look like? Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I would do Bible studies, but not only that. But
so you meet, hey, you start talking and you're like, we're doing a Bible study.
You have to, because in order, uncle and everybody in the ministry, it's not only just uncle or just, hey, you KMF this, that, but it's actually overseers and people who pour into us to allow us to have the wisdom that they have, even at this young of an age. All we have to do is accept it. Mm-hmm. It's just like when we go to an event, right, and we portray the word of God and let them know that today is the day of salvation. It's not up to us to convict them, but it's up to them.
So boom, hey, how you doing?
Yep.
What's your name? Da, 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 da. We're doing a Bible study.
Yeah, but
okay, okay.
But first, I see where their faith is, right? So for me, when I met her, she knew who God was, but she was going through a situation, and I had no intention, nothing, because I just always kept to myself.
You just thought she was cute.
Yeah, but you know.
Hey,
but look.
Good. I'm only messing with you, man.
Yeah. So we went through that, and it was something that she was going through, and I prayed with her. Long story short, whatever. And a lot of people were telling her she wanted to, you know what I'm saying, leave the house, this, and this. Long, I don't want to put the business out there, right? But it was like that. And so I was like, don't do what they telling you to do. You pray and you ask God to do what you need to do, because at the end of the day, God's will is the best will for us. God's way is the best way for us, and God's timing isn't our time. And you feel like you want to do this just because you feel like it's the easy way out. But at the same time, God might want something different for you. So you pray on it, you sit on it. And it started off with a conversation of us strictly talking about God. It was nothing other than that. And I feel like that's how people should start the relationship. It's to come together in unity to put Christ first. Because if he's first in the beginning, then by default, it's only going to continue to grow if you guys are both on the same page and both are pursuing purity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, does she like pizza?
She likes pizza, man.
Okay, yeah, you got to find that out too. You gotta ask those questions too, right? Because you want to get to know the person, right?
Yep.
Okay, so what advice would you give? So two things. I got two final things, and I don't know if you have a question for them.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I may not be on the show.
Oh, you have questions on the other side. Okay, she's going to see. That's her thing. Singleness is passive.
So, like I said, I 100% agree with what you're saying, right? So let's just talk about here, right? So, like you mentioned, Brandon, you're like, hey, man, I'm newer in this walk. Kevin's got a little more years, right? So whether you like it or not, the people around you are seeing you as an example on how to handle romantic situations, romantic relationships, right? Mm. So they're watching, right? And so you mentioned boundaries. So if you were to give Brandon advice, what do boundaries look like? What does that even mean when you say, man, you got to put boundaries?
Yep.
What does it mean in a Gen Z, Gen A term, right? Not the scripture, because we know what God, right? What Brandon was talking about. Yeah. We know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. But what does it mean whenever you wake up and you're in a different city and you're traveling and then you meet new people and you got a concert and now there's 15 more followers, or I don't know, y'all's numbers are probably higher, but you know what I mean? And so what does that mean if you were to turn to your cousin, technically cousins, right? Kind of.
Hey, we're going to have to let them sit with Pat for like a couple
hours. What does it
hours?
Mean when you're like, you know what? These are boundaries for you, right? No. And it
first
could be right or wrong.
Yeah. First and foremost, I'm not a love doc. I'm not Pastor Juan. I ain't there yet.
Hey,
right?
Hey.
I got to get that advice from Pastor Juan. But for me, me personally, I do what works for me, right? I do what works for
Absolutely.
God, and I do what is good in God's eyes at the same time of
example.
Me pursuing.
Give an example.
Give me an example.
And so she's trying to get you to bring scripture
you to
into real life
it
terms,
down right? Into like baby
right.
level.
And so, like I said, with the Bible studies and stuff, I would pursue what I thought that we should come against if we did set those boundaries, which is love, right? Which is reading about how love is gentle, love is kind, love doesn't envy, it does not boast, it does not bring up the past of what you've gone through, but it's for us to pursue God so that we know how to love one another, and not physically, but emotionally.
This is once you're dating, though.
Yeah.
Or before.
Yeah. This is on the talking stage in order to understand.
She's like, man, you're trying to love me.
Yeah. But this is to understand if that category is approachable, is reasonable for the situation, because I can't just jump into it and then guess or ask myself, does she love the way that God loves, or does she set these boundaries? And by boundaries, I mean to be loyal, right? To just the regular things, and to set yourself aside, to be modest, to dress modest. It's just the simple things, you know what I'm saying? To stay pure. It's just simple. So many
Hold on, but those are her boundaries. What are yours?
Mine is to do the same as well. To whenever something does walk past, to turn the other cheek. Whenever something does walk past, to turn the other way, to give God glory. And every time something does temptate me, because also God also says that he temptates no man, but that he gives them a way out of it. Mm-hmm. To not allow the temptation to get the best of me, but to put God first in every situation. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds like the same thing, or like I might even be talking in circles, and God forbid if I am.
But it's okay. No, we're giving you a hard time a little bit, but
it's truly,
you know.
You're 19 now, so we had to just, you know. Yeah.
But here's what I want you to grab from this.
Yeah.
She's asking, how do you take these biblical principles and put them into normal, everyday things?
Yeah.
That's the thought you leave with today, right?
Because we're all, like, everyone at this table.
Give them an example. Stephanie, when you was dating. Give an example.
Look. Y'all, Brian knew me since way back when, right? So I understand the real
Johnny,
temptations, right? The real desires, the real, all of those different things. So, and like I said, because I grew up in church, I knew all the scriptures. You have this head knowledge, but when it comes to actually applying it, we really do got to get elementary on it, because we're like, okay, so I have this boundary, right? We talk about boundaries, but then it's like, what even is it? And so that's why I clarified it, you know, because it's boundaries are for us. Mm. You know what I mean? Boundaries are for me. And so, like you said, man, you don't want somebody consistently pushing your boundary. But if the other person doesn't have, you know, what foundation, basic, right? Because that's the problem that we run into a lot of the times, too. Yeah. That then you're surrounded by believers.
Uncle Ernesto,
and then that's your only standard. And then your only standard, and Jonathan, my husband, says this all the time, that it's like, okay, cool that they believe in Christ, but what else?
Yeah.
But what else? Yeah, like, because we were lost, and maybe we dated before, you know, without Christ, we kind of set our eyes laser focused into, man, I want a woman of God. I want her to do this. I want her to do that.
Yeah.
But okay, I mean, there's like hundreds and millions of believers. So you're going to marry just anyone? Then then we do, what is it? The arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Right? But God gave us this free will. And then you know yourself. You know yourself. I know myself. So if I'm like, man, I actually have different standards. I want somebody who communicates, right? I want somebody who actually, man, maybe you don't want somebody who does music and ministry at this, right? Maybe you do want someone who can partner with you in those things. And so it's getting down to the nitty gritty and the specifics, because ultimately, like you said, Uncle was telling you, you wake up and that's the same person every single day. So does this person have anger issues? Yep. What we talked about in the last, what is that person coming from? What trauma, right? You said you encountered them whenever they were going through something. So we like to, and I give Pastor Juan the credit too, because it took me years of being right next to him to actually get the part of, hey, we're friends, right? Because then you encounter that too, which is happening right now, of we're talking, we're dating. And then everyone with the best intentions can say, oh, why aren't y'all dating? Y'all are just this. Or, oh, why don't you? Then you start dating. And then, oh, why aren't y'all married? Y'all should just this. So there's a lot of those pressures to stay within what you and the Lord first. Yeah. And then you and the partner are, you know, pursuing and trying to achieve as like a goal. You
Let's give it up, Pastor Stephanie. Yeah. She did the Dr. Love thing today. See, listen, it is good counsel. It's really good counsel. Amen.
No, I've just been through it, right? So I never broken a bone. So if you got a broken arm, I don't need you to break my arm to tell me that it hurts. I'll just take your word for it.
Right.
So I've had the broken arm. So I try to say it as to as many people as possible, because
she's passionate about it.
It really is this click of like, you know what? The getting to know someone, the friend stage, you know, sometimes they call it the talking stage. It just depends on what are you calling it, the talking stage, but really y'all are dating. Because if you're talking and that's your friend, I don't kiss my friends. I don't hold hands with my friends. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't spend all my time with my friend. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, sometimes we do that too. We fall into it in Christianity because we're like, oh yeah, that's, and then, you know.
Anyway, we do the opposite. We do the opposite. We're like, we tell people all the time, because they're like, after they start dating and stuff, they're washing clothes and all. I'm like, why are you washing his clothes? Like, you ain't married? Like, get out of here.
And
like,
I think we struggle with it in Christianity a lot, is because like what you said, it's accurate. You do want to pursue ultimately, the whole reason why you're in the dating pool and all that sorts of stuff is to have a spouse.
Right.
But the problem in Christianity is that because we know, oh, we're dating for intentions to marry, that we think that because we're dating, that's our spouse.
Yep.
And so a lot of the conversations I have with older people like you and myself, right? We're 20s, 25s. We think, man, look, I don't care if it's the day of your wedding. That is not your spouse. And you don't have any commitment to them. If you decide at that moment that, you know what, that it's a no, then you don't have to. Right. Like you really don't. Yep. But we get into the whole, that's my spouse. That's my future wife. Yeah. That's my future wife. That is no. Don't tie yourself to that future wife just because we date with intentions to marry. Yep. You know.
And there it is. I'm going to ask you a final question. I'm gonna, because right now. Receive it that.
Nah, you did.
But and for those listening and watching, like, that's important. We're trying to always become more mature in some of those things, right? So that we can articulate or put in place things that we over spiritualize, right? Because we use all these words, and sometimes it's like as simple as "don't be alone," you know.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask how important. Because there's a lot of guys incarcerated who are dads, and I think the last time we were. In the prisons, you kind of went with that forethought, right? Yeah. Of like, yo, I'm gonna talk to these dads. So I want to hear from both of y'all how important it is to have the men in your life that you have now, your dad, and obviously Uncle B is kind of like dad in your life. How important is it? Because I think some of the dads need to hear what if you didn't have that, where would you be? And because you have that, where are you? You get what I'm saying? Because I want you to talk to them dads right now. That's kind of what I want you to do.
Yeah, definitely. In my perspective, since I don't have my earthly parents anymore, more like my dad and my mom and stuff. So I know God takes things and makes a purpose out of it as far as, like, we go through pain, lose a loved one, and he replaces them with more, right? Now I have more uncles that are like my father figures.
Yeah.
Now I have more aunties that are like my mother figures, right? But the thing is, the mother and the dad figures that I have in my life now compared to how it was before I came to God, they have godly foundations. They have godly principles. They have edification and wisdom to give to me so I can eventually pass that to my kids when I have it. And their kids and so on and so forth. So it's very vital to start now and to train, whether that means you have small kids or young adults.
Yeah.
Train them in the ways of the Lord so when they're older, they won't depart from it. My dad would always teach us about the things of God. Even my uncle, like, even when they didn't have it all together, double-minded message, but they still, they knew what time it was. They knew who created them. They knew who they served, right? And so they would always tell us about the things of God, always tell us about Jesus. And even though it took growing for them, it took growing for all of us, you know what I'm saying? So I know for them, pouring that out to me and showing them that Jesus is real, but I'm a work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. It shows the same for me, like, to know, man, like, they didn't have it all together at first. And all I have to do is continue to yield to the Holy Spirit, yield to the Lord, and the Lord will teach me so I can teach my nephews and my kids when I have them, you know what I mean?
I appreciate that, because I think it's important for the guys that are listening who are parents to know that, hey, how important it is for them to be in the life of their kids.
Yeah.
Even if they might not have kids, but they might be an uncle.
Yeah.
That also shows how important that is, right?
Yep.
And so what about you? What would you say to them?
And so that's hard what you say. You say, what would you like about it, and where would you be with it or without it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said before, it was my dad in the streets doing the things, and I was with my mom praying. And that experience in itself of me having everybody else except for the father figure, right? How'd that make you feel? It made me feel like, dang, like, what did I do so wrong for, or what are we doing wrong for him not to fit in? Everybody else is doing what they need to do, right?
Yeah.
And like a single fine line, in a sense. It's like everybody's playing their part, but why can't he play the part? You know what I'm saying? The person that I look up to most, the person that I want to be like, you know what I'm saying? And it just hit different. And so for him to be saved and for God to touch his heart, from my perspective and my experience, and I know a lot of people go through do different situations.
Yeah,
just like
I want to hear you,
like,
from your lens.
Yeah, from my perspective, the fact that of me having my dad to not only see him transform and not only see him go through what he went through, but then allow God to hit him with such an impact that he couldn't even resist, even though he didn't even want to be saved. But it was through our faith and our motivation through Christ and the faith inside of us that he did change and that God created a miracle in his life. And if it wasn't for that, who knows where I would be. Yeah. I'll probably be doing the same thing he's doing. I'll probably still be in New Orleans right now tripping. I'll probably, you know what I'm saying? But it's by the grace of God that we got to have a testimony to where it's, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That God not only used us to say, why us, God, but he used us to say, how us, God? Like, yeah. How did you change this situation? And it's only through him that I can give the glory. And even so, for those who don't know, when we go into the prisons, when we first went, it was with my dad, and it was my first time last year. And I didn't know how I was going to relate to the people. Yeah. And I remember Pastor Juan sitting right next to Uncle B on a bench outside. He was like, you don't have to strive to try to figure out their perspective. You tell them how you feel on your perspective. He said, how do you feel as a son if your dad wasn't here? How would you feel? You explain to them and let them understand your perspective. That way Christ may speak through you, through your point of view. And so when I heard that, I was like, man, like, it really struck something, because it's like, you don't got to be or try to experience or have a testimony of somebody that you're not. But yeah. You could truly be who God has called you to be and truly speak what God has placed you in, or whatever situation God has placed you in, and how he took you out of it, to truly be a representation and a testimony to those who need it.
That's really good.
It's crazy.
Man. That alone is a lesson. Be you. Yeah. Right.
It's crazy. Yeah.
You want to close it out? Thank you so much
for tuning in to This Is Real.
Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for being on the show. Thank you for giving wisdom at the age that you're in from your perspective. I always love that, because the reality is that we keep getting older, and at every age group, Jesus wants to talk, right? And not only did today, you probably spoke to people, even adults that are dating, because they might have heard you at a young age trying to articulate some of the deeper truths of relationships that maybe they haven't even started to think about. So I'm hoping that brings conviction to the people that are older that are going, man, this dude, because they may be like, well, he didn't say this, but at the end of the day, he is trying to put Christ in the center of something which speaks loudly. So kudos to you. I salute both of y'all for like being at that age, implementing as much Christ as you can so that you could get it right. Because, man, I know 30, 40, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds ain't even thinking. Perfect. They're not even close to thinking what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. So, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I hope you guys are listening.
Yes.
And ladies. We can't just say the guys
always.
And the ladies. And the ladies. And thank you for the wisdom. You know, I like hearing you talk about the singleness. But that's because I think she learned. She's the school of hard knocks. School of hard knocks, you know. She smiled when, like, we were behind her like this, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So thank you so much for tuning into This Is Real. Thank you for being a real one. Thank you for our sponsors, ISI, and all who partner with us to make this possible. Stay free. Peace.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you, This Is Real family, for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas, 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.